Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs, auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/Justin Boyd Country. This is GLT.
They say the only certainties in life are death and taxes. We've actually covered both here during Sound Money, but today we'll deal with taxes. Illinois State University Professor of Finance Edgar Norton is with us. There aren't many things uniquely different, fingerprints, DNA, and snowflakes, but you could probably throw in their tax seasons. It seems they're always, at the minimum, tweaks to existing laws, if not major overhauls from year to year. And this year we're dealing more with tweaks. First, tax deadline isn't April 15th this year, Edgar, even though it's on a Friday. What's going on there?
That's right. This year we're changing. It is it's actually the following Monday. April 15th, as you said, is a Friday. And it turns out that's a holiday in Washington, D.C., Emancipation Day. And so for most of us, the tax deadline is shoved over to Monday, April 18th. But if you live in New England, that's another holiday, that Monday, and that's called Patriots Day.
Oh, that's right, the day they have the Boston Marathon.
That's right. So if you happen to live in Massachusetts, any listeners out there, you have until Tuesday, April 19th.
Very interesting. Now let's get to some of the tweaks that we're talking about here. Health insurance penalties are changing. What's going on there?
They are. Well, under the Obamacare that the Supreme Court has ruled is indeed a tax, it started off slow and low a couple years ago. If you did not sign up under the Affordable Health Care Act or didn't prove that you could have affordable health care, you had a penalty of $95 a person. Not too bad. Mm-hmm. A year later, last year, 2015, the penalty went up to 2% of your income, or $285, a little bit bigger bite. In 2016, it's up to 2.5% of your income, or $695, and so an even bigger bite.
$600 more than just a couple of years ago.
That's right. And for a family, it is maxed out at a little over $2,000. And so there's definitely that economic incentive to get covered by health care.
IRA rollovers have some tighter controls. What's happening here?
Well, back in the good old days, people who were smarter than I would be using their IRA as a form of short-term financing and loans. The rules allow you to take money out of an IRA for up to 60 days. And as long as you reinvest it within that 60-day time frame, you had free use of your money. No penalties, no taxes. And people were doing that from this IRA, that IRA, their other IRA. They had multiple IRAs taking these 60-day loans.
Right.
And the IRS said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We'll allow you one, mm-hmm. one 60-day rollover every year. So they cut back on that.
Now, with flexible spending accounts, beginning a couple of years ago, you could roll over money that you had left over that you didn't use into the ensuing year, but you can't do that anymore. Is that right?
That's correct, and I believe that's another quirk of the Affordable Care Act, that rather than you can still roll over funds, but if you do that, you're not eligible for what's called a health savings account, which is if you have a high deductible health care plan, you're allowed to save up money for those high deductibles in what's called a health savings account. And that could be a nice way to save up for retirement, too, but that's another topic for another time.
And these health savings accounts allow you basically to pay for your health expenses in pre-tax dollars.
That's correct. You might have a high deductible plan where your deductible is maybe $1,500. And so it'd be nice if I'm young and healthy to maybe save up over time. And so when I'm older and I'm using that deductible, I could just take money out tax-free. And under these rule changes, if you roll over money from an FSA, you can't contribute to a health savings account.
So that's different. On the education front, there's some good news for a change, it seems. Pell Grants are now living expenses. How does this help out?
It just gives you some more options. You're living away from home, perhaps going to college. And so rather than just paying for mundane things like tuition fees and books and such, it also can help out with apartment rent.
It sounds like a good deal for those who are living away at an apartment, maybe not in a dorm or something. Last year at this time, we talked about the MyRAs being set up. Remind us again what these are and how do they factor into the tax scenario?
It's another way for people, perhaps they're working someplace and that work environment doesn't offer a retirement account. It's a way for them to contribute to something to help get them ready for retirement. It is not a very good program from a financial planning perspective because It's invested very conservatively by under the MyRA rules. It's invested very conservatively, and once your account balance gets up to $15,000, you can't do it anymore. You have to put that money in a real IRA rather than a MyRA. But for someone who's just starting out and they're working someplace without a retirement account, or they're working part-time and maybe they don't qualify for that company's retirement plan, it's a way to get started. Take that first step and begin that journey of 1,000 steps.
Even though 2015 is over, there are still some things you can do in 2016 to reduce your taxable income for the past year. How can you do that, Edgar?
Indeed, the IRS does give us a gift. And if we're able to make a traditional IRA contribution, those are tax deductible, so they reduce your taxable income, and you have until that tax filing deadline, which is April 18th or 19th, depending upon where you live this year.
Right.
And so it's one of the few gifts we have to go back in time to reduce 2015 income, even though 2015 is over. The caveat is you have to have an income below a certain level. If you're single, you can make a traditional deductible IRA contribution if your income's under $71,000. If you're married filing jointly, the income limit is $118,000. You can either take a full or partial contribution, depending upon where your income falls and some of those ranges. But that's a nice gift. You can contribute, if you're under 50, up to $5,500 into a traditional IRA.
So it helps you with your 2015 taxes, but it also causes you to spend more money in 2016.
It does, but it helps prepare you for that retirement that hopefully will come someday. In fact, now is a good time, too, as you're thinking about 2015 taxes, to look and see, okay, how much money did I take out if I do have a 401k or some retirement plan at work? How much money was taken out, and can I increase that, again, to try to save more money, work my budget, and prepare for retirement?
Edgar Norton is professor of finance at Illinois State University. Edgar, happy tax figuring.
My pleasure, Willis. Thank you.
I'm Willis Kern.